Welcome to the newest Nerdcast podcast, Nerd Talk, where Matt, Toner, and I, Jay, we're going to talk about movies. But the first one, Toner no-showed. But we got our friends, Marcus from Deadpan Fury and Podcast Rob from the Something Something Cast to come on and talk with us. We talked about some movies I could show my kids, comedies that I watched growing up, the Avatar sequels, the Fast and Furious movies, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're all good. So earlier tonight, I watched Spaceballs with two of my three kids, and they loved it. So I'm trying to find some other stuff along those lines that they'll end up liking. Any suggestions? I was going to do Vacation, Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein's automatic. Yeah. I mean,
how old are they?
My oldest is 9 and my youngest is 6. I don't mind language. Sexuality, you know, kind of pushing it a little.
Well, Young Frankenstein should be fine with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say Naked Gun, but there's that whole OJ thing.
Yeah. That might be up there.
Yeah, a police squad, you might be able to.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I was probably about their age when Naked Gun came out. Probably around 9, so that's about right. Like, Three Amigos came out when I was about that age, so that would be another one, I think.
Three Amigos would be a good one.
See, I think I was close to their age when I saw Porky's for the first time, but I'm going to hold off on that one.
Yeah. There's always, like, UHF.
Yeah.
Oh, nice call.
Well, but UHF might miss something if you're not with the 80s references and stuff like that. But it's Weird Al. It's pretty funny still.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. But, like, they've seen Christmas Vacation, so I was going to show them the original Vacation. Just drawing a blank on other great comedies that they would enjoy.
Well, comedy or satire? Because comedy is a little broader, but... Yeah.
I'd go either way. I'll probably show him Airplane soon, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Airplane's up there.
I always loved the Kentucky Fried movie when I was their age, but it has the whole Catholic schoolgirls in trouble part.
Is that the John Landis one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm foggy. It's been so many years since I've seen that, although I knew it was John Landis, so... But, God, okay. I'm trying to think because, I mean, comedy went through a period there where it went really kind of crude and vulgar for a while.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, dude. I mean, I like my raunchy comedies, but like an all-ages, genuinely funny comedy, pretty hit and miss anymore.
Yeah, and there's only so many times I can watch Home Alone.
Yeah, oh,
yeah,
God.
And a lot of the satire stuff, like it's okay on a comedy level if you don't get the satire, but it loses a lot of stuff. You know, like I mean, Not Another Teen Movie is a fantastic comedy movie, but only if you really get a lot of the satire points that they're making.
Yeah,
Because of how parody it is. Same thing with like Hot Shots or Major League. Well, Major League's just good all around.
I was going to say, Major League's solid.
Hot Shots is a great movie, too. But again, you need to kind of get all the references that they're parodying.
And see, that was part of the problem with Spaceballs, is I'm kind of having to explain the non-Star Wars stuff to them.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Explaining aliens at the end of the movie where the alien pops out of the guy's chest and dances off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at 9, I'd like my go-to stuff would be like Coming to America and like The Hangover. And at 9, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I was probably close to that when Coming to America came out.
Yeah, Major League would probably be a good call.
Yeah, Major League would be a good one, especially in our baseball household. There's a lot of other good movies I could show them, but they enjoy the comedies, so probably stick with that for now.
Well, comedy's a good one, too. You want them to start grasping all that humor and stuff when they're young.
Yeah. Oh, Blues Brothers was another one I was going to show them.
I haven't seen Blues Brothers in years.
Well, my mom was getting rid of her albums, and I was going through them, and the Blues Brother album was in there, and I'm like, oh, they're at the point where they need to see that movie.
What did I just watch?
It's funny, we were just talking about the latest Fast and the Furious movie and how huge the car body count was. And I haven't seen the most recent one yet, but I'm like, dude, if you want a car body count, you have to watch the original Blues Brothers. So, like, we actually pulled up a website of car body counts, and, dude, Blues Brothers is not even close to, like, the most recent Fast and the Furious movie as far as how many cars they trashed. I was astounded at how low on the list it was.
Wow.
Well, everything about that Fast and the Furious, that just... To me, if you're going to point a finger at, like, a ridiculous Hollywood movie, there it is. I'm like, you know, I don't know the last time I saw a trailer that made me laugh so hard, except maybe the trailer for Prison Break, the revival of Prison Break, just for, like, sheer ridiculousness, where they have, like, there's, like, actual voiceover dialogue of a character saying something like, ISIL's just declared war on us. And I fucking just start laughing. It's the fucking dumbest thing. Having said that, I've seen like every one of the Fast and Furious movies. And I'm sure I'll see this one too.
Yeah, I want to get out and see this one.
Fucking.
I've never seen one of them.
Ugh.
I just don't have any.
It's like your first STD, son. You got to do it.
I just have no care to see any of them.
That's fair. You know what you have to watch? You've seen Triple X, right?
I fell asleep during it.
Fair enough. Imagine that you think that, like, the fourth Fast and the Furious movie is just as important and serious as the first Triple X movie. And the meta will carry it all the way around. If you just pretended that Xander Cage running around undercover as this car thief, the meta will cover it for you.
That's hilarious. I never even thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, I even like the sequel with Ice Cube because it's another just ridiculous, dumb, stupid. This movie should have like Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme like in the fucking leads because it's just that inane.
Well, I mean, Triple X to me always seemed to be an attempt to make Point Break, but with Vin Diesel.
Yes. Oh, 100%. And, like, the new Triple X is just ridiculous because they're like, okay, we've all seen the movies where the action hero's gotten a little long in the tooth.
Right.
We'll pick a TV show. Let's call TJ Hooker, where you have a 50-year-old guy with the gut and the toupee and the no confidence walking around, and you got the two girls in the string bikini walking by him and checking him out.
Right.
No, they're fucking not. There's no fucking way they're checking him out. So in the latest Triple X movie, you got Vin Diesel macking on like fucking Victoria Justice or some fucking 22-year-old girl. And she is just eating this up. It's like, well, dude, that guy's 50. You know, I mean, at a certain point, I don't care how bald you are. Or how, you know, how much attitude you're throwing around. You're talking about a 30-year gap. And there's just no credible. You got The Rock out there and you got The Rock doing his charisma thing. I'll buy it. You got Vin Diesel looking like he just needs another fucking star vehicle. No, it's ridiculous. You know, the entire rave is not stopping and wiping their mouth because Vin Diesel showed up. You know, and that's what they're doing, you know.
Oh my God, is that Xander Harris, the famous underground stunt guy?
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Oh my God, I watch all your videos.
Well, then you're famous or are you underground?
Right.
Fuck yeah. It's just that complete level of ridiculousness. It's not even Nietzsche anymore in that movie. He's like a household name. And I was like, oh, fuck no.
Well, the thing I like about, from what I'm hearing about the latest Fast movie, is that this is apparently the start of the another trilogy that will take them to 10 for this giant story arc. And the director of 8 has said he is not against taking the franchise into space.
You know what? Fuck it. You got 10 movies You know, for his, I can't give anybody shit for continuing anything because guess what? Marvel's on like their 17th in a series fucking movie, and I've seen all those. You know, yeah, you want to make your 10 race car movies? Go ahead. I can't bitch.
Well, I mean, I don't know if Hatton and I even joked about it in our episode. We did the Last Jedi trailer review. And I said, you know, I just want to see the Fast and Furious franchise go on long enough that it actually crosses over with the Star Wars franchise.
Fuck yeah, dude. I want to see Vin Diesel need to get the senior citizen driver's license.
I'm like, can you see, like, Poe sitting there in his X-Wing chasing down a TIE fighter, and he looks out his X-Wing to the left, and there's Vin Diesel in an X-Wing looking at him going too soon, hitting a red button on his dashboard and like taking off at four times as fast. Fuck. I'm like, how awesome would that be? Dude, come on.
Here's one that's got me scratching my head. How about the fact that we're getting four back-to-back Avatar sequels?
Well, that's just...
Who the fuck asked for that?
James I haven't Cameron. Seen the first one.
Well, have you seen Pocahontas?
Well, years ago.
Okay, you've seen the first Avatar movie.
Well, but I specifically have, like, I have actively not seen the first Avatar.
That's movie. Fair. I've never seen Titanic. Fuck that boat movie. I know how it ends.
They were both good to see in the theater, but after that, I have no appeal to see them again.
Well, the IMAX thing was the big draw for Avatar. You watch it at home and you go, oh, this kind of sucks.
And that's specifically why I refuse to throw money at this movie. I know it's my own little, you know, bullshit drop in the bucket protest, but after Avatar printed money for being a 3D movie, every fucking movie felt, oh, well, we have to be 3D too. But he filmed his in 3D where everybody else at the time had to go through and finish it in 3D in post-production, and it looked like shit.
Oh, but look at those Clash of the Titans.
Oh, exactly. Oh, but we have to because Avatar made $1 billion and it was 3D. Go fuck yourself. I hated it. I saw the second half of... It was Deathly Hallows Part 2 was in 3D. And we at least thought, you know what, with all the spells and shit like that going around, it could be really cool in 3D. And it wasn't. It was terrible. The biggest 3D aspect was at the end when Voldemort disintegrates. But because of the aspect ratio of the movie, it completely ruined it. Because the camera is so close in on him when he does and starts to flake off, that the minute those flakes that are in 3D hit the edge of the screen and disappear, the whole effect is ruined. So, yeah, I hated Avatar for a long time for suddenly pushing this everything has to be in 3D bullshit agenda again, so I refused to give him my $15.
Well, that's how protest works, though, man, really. I mean... There's plenty of movies I'm not going to ever see in a theater just because I can't justify the gimmick or whatever. But, oh.
He's getting one less free oil change on one of his 19 cars.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Day to go see Avatar. Fuck you,
dude,
James Cameron.
Four fucking Avatar sequels. They're going to be finished in 2025, projected.
Yeah.
So we're already talking damn near a decade from now for four movies to a sequel. To a movie 10 years old that nobody particularly was like, man, I want to see this again. Or where's this going to go? Well, I can already, anybody that's ever seen a direct to video sequel can tell you exactly what's going to happen in these next four fucking movies. You know, we're going to get a new guy to go do the same fucking thing with probably a cameo with the original guy who did the fucking thing. Then we're going to get a female that does it because you got to have the female version. And then you're going to have the witty, like, young guy, whatever, fucking the legacy jump in and do it all and fucking tie it all in, you know? Maybe
I don't even understand.
Handicapped or something.
The original concept I heard was that he was going to do two more sequels because he was doing the whole land, air, sea thing. What the hell's the fourth one?
Yeah, well, maybe it's hearts or...
It's space.
Heart,
he's like crossing it over with Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Fucking.
Well, here's the thing, too. They'll put the original Avatar back in theaters, and it'll
just... Oh, fuck yeah, they will. Money I'm still not going to watch it again. Fuck those people.
Yeah, but they'll try to get that new group of people that haven't seen it before.
What they should do is just Tropic Thunder those fucking movies and fill them with people that you'd have no interest in seeing, like the Pie Fucker. And just, you know, and just Avatar 2, guest starring Bill Burr. I'm in.
There's a movie, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Show that one to your kids.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've got it.
You know, I don't understand. I understand the idea of, hey, this property's been sitting for 20 years. Let's fucking dust it off, maybe take a new angle at it. But, like, Avatar was such a special effects specific thing. And, I mean, I haven't heard anybody in the past 6 years say, God, I wish they had another Avatar movie.
Hi.
Oh, how's it going?
I heard Marcus's voice. I was like, Marcus is on the line.
I'm always online, dude. I live here.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What's going on, man?
How do you feel about fucking another, like, 4 Avatar movies?
Oh, I heard the news about that today. It sounds retarded. Wow,
you're getting a friend request. You're fucking in the club.
Sir, are home.
I'll believe it when I see it, kind of thing. They've been saying, you know, hey, another 5 Avatar movies for the past how many years now? Because when did the original one even come out? That was like 2012, something like that. More than that, though.
Let me pull it out of my ass where 4 more Avatar movies will come from.
I'm gonna actually look this up.
I know my oldest was born because she got the toys from McDonald's and wanted to see the movie.
I thought you were about to say you conceived her an Avatar. I was going to say, Jesus Christ, man. 2009.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, crazy. But I'll tell you this. Who's wanting this movie is the first question. I don't think anyone's really, you know, wanting
this
movie.
Yeah, you got a friend request. You're in the club, man. Fuck.
But here's the other thing. For all that, but I am curious about what James Cameron is doing technology-wise. The movie, who cares about the movie, but I'm curious what new thing that he's going to come up with, because he's always innovating, right? So that's the only thing I'll give it, but other than that, screw it, who cares? I'd rather just see him do another Terminator.
Toner's out of the club, you're in the club.
There you go.
Toner bought a shirt. Fucking Toner.
He bought the swag.
Oh, fuck, dude.
So, Jay, do we have an agenda? How late am I? How far into the agenda are you?
No, we haven't started anything. We're just talking about movies.
And we're bullshit.
My kids.
Oh, just bullshit. Okay.
Ranting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done ranting, sir. I have a new son life.
You're never done, sir.
How quickly that my mind is a still river went by the wayside once we started talking Fast and the Furious and Avatar.
Well, dude, that guru, fucking, oh, man, that guy was a fucking amazing.
And who would ever think that, you know, you'd have to bring up the sentence, will Avatar 2 beat Fast and the Furious at the box office?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Think about that, yeah.
We're going to talk about something very important that happened to me last week. I fucking hate the concept of lip sync battle, and I probably watched Kate Upton do that Britney Spears thing for about 19 hours.
Oh, I have to watch that yet. I saw constant Facebook posts about it.
I saw a clip of the commercial of it, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's on live TV, what's up?
Yeah, I was completely happy. And they're like, oh, Ricky Martin does Footloose at the end of the clip. I'm like, dude, I never saw fucking Ricky Martin. I don't give a fuck about Ricky Martin.
I haven't watched that yet.
What did he lip sync to? What did he do?
Who fucking cares? Yeah, and of course Reddit. Hey, where's the GIF? And Reddit's got like every panty shot, because of course they do. Because Reddit's filled with sex offenders. And my bookmarks.
All
right. Ridiculous fucking, oh my God. And then my girlfriend's like, yeah, what are you watching? I go, Kate Upton doing a Britney Spears thing. And she came in and she's like, holy shit. Yeah. Well, so when your girlfriend... When your girlfriend gives you a pass, you know, fucking, whoa.
All right, I'm going to be looking that up later.
Later? I'm going to throw it in the chat right now. Ricky Martin's Footloose. Yeah, nobody gave a fuck. Footloose. Fuck you, Ricky Martin.
Toner might have watched it, but...
You know, she has to find a way to be relevant since she's not doing Clash of Kings commercials anymore. Dude, whatever, miss, the, whatever
you know
the
what?
Fuck that was.
I forgive her.
I'm fucking good. She won you over.
Yeah, dude. I'll buy whatever $3 game she wants me to fucking buy right now.
Oh,
and I'm not our general, well, I guess I'm sort of general multi-purpose, but I'm not our usual resident dirtbag either. Like, you usually don't get a lot of that shit from me, so.
Mark, it had to have been good.
Yeah, I'm shady as fuck, but I usually don't post a bunch of fucking female videos. I'm usually yelling at people.
So, Jay, is Toner even going to join us tonight, or is he not even going to bother?
Yeah, he said he was going to be on probably 9:30-ish, but we can go on without him. He can join us whenever.
Okay. So, is it sounding good on your end?
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
We lost Rob because Rob found the link. That's fair because I'm watching it right now. I don't remember what the hell we're talking about. I need to look back at my notes. That window's got to go. All right.
It's 10 days until Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Fuck yeah.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so initial reviews... I heard non-spoiler reviews that I heard about was it's good, but not great. Like, good enough. And then, good, like, they enjoyed the movie because they like the characters, and they like this family is what I was hearing. But other than that, the story was meh, you know. They gave it a meh. Which, you know, that's kind of, it's kind of a bummer, because I'm kind of really looking forward to it. I was hoping when people would say they were blown away, and I didn't get those. I haven't heard those rumblings yet.
I saw one review that said it's the best Marvel movie yet.
Ooh, so those are strong words, sir.
Those are very
that's
strong
a hot.
Words.
That's a hot, fresh take.
That is a hot take right that's, there. That's
sports every Marvel movie, though. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say they've said that about every Marvel movie that's come out.
And then the hype
except
dies down.
The first Guardians, you know, until it came out.
Yeah.
Because I remember that was going to be the movie that bankrupted Marvel. And it was like, oh man, please don't sigh.
It lived up to that.
Yeah, I think it was the Hollywood Review or whatever. It's whatever Apple fucking throws on my iPad automatically. And it was a really kind of pretentious, twatty interview. And it was like about, oh, it doesn't progress the characters far enough. You already know who they are. And it's more the same stuff from the first movie. And it's like, well, so far you're giving me a good checklist why I'd want to check it out. You know, I mean, I'm not looking to see Rocket, like, stop wanting to shoot everything. And I don't want to see Star-Lord take everything seriously. You know, I have some concerns about the daddy issue stuff. But, you know, the worst thing that happens is I come out smiling a little bit instead of smiling a lot.
Yeah, I got you on that. Yeah, all I know is they're gonna sell like $1 billion worth of Baby Groot merchandise, and that's all they care about.
Whoever decided to get Groot and Rocket paired up is a marketing fucking genius.
Yeah, I can only imagine the Happy Meal toys are gonna sell with that one.
Oh yeah, dude. Did you hear about Apple looking at buying fucking Disney?
Yeah, wasn't it like for like $4 billion or something like that?
No, they're like, oh, we'd want like $1 trillion, and Apple's like, that's it, huh?
Oh wow!
And that's where the rumor sits. It's like, could you imagine Apple doing all that from beginning, middle, and end, producing their own content, releasing their own material, and controlling the platform it comes out on?
Yeah, got the aftermarket and having all the distribution rights. Jesus.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking straight up old school Westworld right there.
Well, would they have? They wouldn't have a case for monopoly by any means. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess they can get away with it. More power to them.
Yeah, just holy shit.
And then in a perfect world, Apple would then buy Fox. And then we could finally get a good X-Men movie. How about that?
Did you guys watch Legion?
I have watched some of it. I haven't finished it yet. I only watched like 4 episodes, I think. It's only 8, though, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it's been good. It's just one of those shows you go, what the fuck is going on? But
it's not really a background noise one. It's you definitely gotta pay attention.
My problem is it's on FX and I don't have cable, so I have to wait for it to pop up on Netflix.
It's worth watching.
And unfortunately,
I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, I watch Netflix shows while I'm at home working.
Right.
And so they're on in the background. I don't get to pay attention to them. So
here you go, Jay. And here, this was something we were supposed to talk about from our last podcast. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm almost done. I got it's 13 episodes for Iron Fist, right? Or is it 12?
13.
Yeah.
Okay. I am through 10. I still don't understand all the hate that it got. It's not great. And the worst part of Iron Fist is the guy playing Iron Fist, but it's still watchable. It's completely watchable. And if you're saying you didn't spoil anything, but I could see how they're building up towards Defenders with it, with the hand. So I'm not all the way through yet to know exactly how it sets up. And I don't know any spoilers in regards to if there's any like surprise cast members that show up or something like that in these last three episodes, but I'm liking it. I don't know. What'd you guys think? Did you guys all make it through?
Yeah.
And what do you guys think? Did the critics have it right? I don't think so.
Well, I'll let Rob go first.
Iron Fist, to me, Iron Fist was the Thor of the Defender movies. I could have completely done without Thor, but it needed to happen so you have the intro to the character before the Defenders comes out. It was probably my least favorite of the four so far. My big thing is fight choreography. I by no means am a professional, but I have done my share of choreographing combat scenes and fight scenes for productions and being involved in them. And the first three or four episodes of fight scenes just looked terrible. It looked like a guy who didn't know what he was doing. And they slowly got better, but even in interviews, he's admitted that they were teaching him the choreography for scenes 10 minutes before they filmed them.
Oh, that's awful. You can't do that.
And
yeah, especially in the first couple episodes, it comes off that way.
And he
he's awful. He's not good at all. He's not a good martial. I mean, not saying that he was supposed to be, but like, take a guy like Keanu Reeves.
He's supposed to be. He's Iron Fist. The actor should know what he's doing.
Well, did he do any training on his own before they even went into filming at all? I mean, it looks like he did no training at all.
He said he got 3 weeks of training before they started production.
That's awful. That's you don't do that when you're like the biggest martial artist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm sorry.
Didn't Keanu Reeves do like 9 months of judo and kendo and shit like that before The Matrix was filmed?
That's not what I'm trying to get at. Because, I mean, we all know Keanu Reeves is not a martial artist by any sense of the word, but he pulled it off. He looks like a legit martial artist in those films,
yeah.
You know, or at least they filmed it that way. And you could, and my wife who's watching it with me, she's always saying, "It's a stunt guy. Every single scene is a stunt guy because you could tell because they're hiding his face because he can't do any of it. He has no fluidity to him at all."
Well, and that was part of the problem with bringing him in so late is they didn't get a chance to train with him. And Kevin Smith was talking about how on Supergirl they spend 15 minutes going over the fight scenes with the actors on it before they film it. But on a show like Supergirl, they don't get as in-depth on the fights like they do in Iron Fist.
Right.
So you can hide it on a show like Supergirl. You can't hide it on Iron Fist.
Yeah. Not for nothing, too, but Supergirl is not a show that is designed around that kind of martial art stuff.
Right.
No, she's
When they do it, it's a really quick aspect to a story arc or to an episode. So you can get away with 15, 20 minutes of going over it and covering it with camera angles. But this is a show about a martial artist. So you have to assume at some point they're going to get pretty hip deep into martial arts fights.
Yeah.
Daredevil really spoiled me and I think a lot of other Netflix Marvel viewers for what a really awesome martial arts fight scene should look like.
Mm-hmm.
So when the martial artist of the group came along, it kind of paled in comparison to a lot of stuff that we had seen in Daredevil.
Yeah, good call. Because what about Charlie Cox? Is there any stories out there about how long he's trained to, you know, get his fight game up?
They brought him in a lot earlier than they brought in Finn Jones. So he had time to train for it, and then he had all between season one and season two to continue training.
Yeah. Because, I'm sorry, it's awful. his fighting is just awful. And what's funny, though, is the actress playing, what's her name? Colleen Wing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Was she a martial artist by trade, and she's just trying to get into the acting world, I guess?
I don't know, but she is 100 times better at it than he is.
I know. No joke there. So, I don't know. I like it. I'm looking forward to finishing it. And I'll finish this before I finish Luke Cage, because I still got 2 episodes of that left, and I have no... I'm not in no hurry to get back to that series, so...
For going forward, instead of doing another Luke Cage and another Iron Fist, I would much rather see a Heroes for Hire and bring them in with Colleen Wing and Misty Knight and just have, like, a group show.
I don't know why they didn't do that in the first place. Luke Cage and Danny Rand are both good characters, and I like them, but the best stories either of them have ever had have been together. And when you're looking at B-tiered characters, which most of these Defender characters are, you play to the strengths, not the weaknesses. And everything about Iron Fist that the critics seem to tear apart, you know, he didn't get a lot of time to train. He's not convincing. The story feels like the same evil corporate, you know, type guy that we've had before, you know, across 2 other stories now. All the strikes that play against it are stuff that in your 4th series, you should have probably already hammered out by now. You know, these guys know what they're doing. See, and that felt like the first time you tried a series instead of, you know, your 4th run.
Yeah. Well, does this make you guys nervous about Defenders at all?
No.
No.
Me neither. I don't think it's going to impact it at all, to be honest with you.
No. One of them had to be the weak one, because eventually you reach a point of diminishing returns. I think it was really kind of... I think Iron Fist, again, was a questionable pick. And you had, you know, the whiny guys on the internet complaining that Danny Rand was a white guy. I don't know how many times I got in the whitewashing argument. And I'm like, dude, he's never been anything but a white guy. Have you ever read any Iron Fist book? You know?
And that's part of the appeal of the character, too, is he's trying to prove himself to the Asian guys in Kun Long.
Yeah, I mean, early on. Yeah. But if you want a Latino martial artist, grab White Tiger. You know, I mean, yep. We've got Shang-Chi is going to show up eventually. Or Shang-Chi, however. He's going to show up eventually. That's a matter of time.
He's got to be in the 2nd season, I would assume. To get, to expand his world somehow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and they're probably just going to... Because the whole reason why they didn't use the Master of Kung Fu for so long was because all his villains come out straight up racist. You know, Yellow Claw, they don't have the rights to Fu Manchu anymore, stuff like that. You can just throw them under the hand moniker and you're good.
I think what the problem Marvel and Netflix had is they were looking too big picture and getting everything set up for the Defenders. So they wanted to have one series for each one of these characters before they got to the big group.
Right, agreed.
So
I think somebody went and said this worked for the movies, so let's do the series like this too.
Right.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's been their thing. If they don't want to spend exposition time in the big group movie explaining who all these characters are and where they've all come from, so they want to do their solo movies before the big one comes out. There was, I mean, before Doctor Strange movie even came out, there had been discussions that could they bring Doctor Strange into the Avengers for Infinity War without having a solo movie and just have it assumed that when all the Avengers meet him and talk to him, they talk to him like they've known he's been around forever. Would the audience be able to grab that? But then once Ant-Man came out, they realized, you know what? Hey, let's do the Doctor Strange movie anyway. But that's their MO. We're going to do the solo movies to lead up to the group movies. And not all of them work. I wasn't crazy about the first Thor movie at all, but it had to be done if he was going to be one of your tentpole Avengers.
And see, I don't even remember the second Thor movie.
Yeah, you're not missing a whole lot. Ragnarok looks more fun in the trailer than either Thor movie did.
Yeah, I was disappointed by the second one because I was really looking forward to Eccleston as the villain, and he didn't really get to do a whole lot.
And well, I think the Thor character, they're figuring out who he should be, because I think in the first movie, I like the first Thor. It's not my favorite, but it's still a passable, good enough movie, right? But in the second one, they lost a lot of the charm of the Thor character, where he's, you know, a little goofy. There's a lot of comedic moments in the first one. I didn't feel like there was any really good comedic moments in the second one. and they're figuring out, hey, this Thor character, especially with all those shorts he's doing with his quote unquote roommate, they're figuring out, hey, this he's funny, and Chris Hemsworth can do comedy, and they're throwing those bits in there, which really separates the Marvel movies from the DC movies, is they can sprinkle in the comedic stuff with the action, and that's why I think this third one they're doing a good amount of both. They're just not showing us the action stuff so much in the trailer yet.
I'm curious to see what happens in Ragnarok to set up the rest of the arc, because every Marvel movie so far in the MCU has set up something for the next movie. They even said with Ant-Man, when he goes to super small into that whole, like, you know, quark size state, that whole suspension of disbelief of being able to do that. And in Thor Dark World, with all the other, the parallel universes all merging together, that if you can suspend disbelief to understand that in the story, then that's the setup for Doctor Strange and all the wacky, crazy shit that he's going to be able to do with magic. Everything in Guardians of the Galaxy, where they went kind of from terrestrial-based to outer space stuff, a lot of that was set up in Thor 2, again, with all the different universes and the parallel dimensions and everything, setting up bigger and more grandiose areas that these stories are going to take place in. So it'll be curious to see what Ragnarok brings to the table that they will use as a jumping off platform for what they're bringing us in other movies.
I have a strange feeling they're going to find out about Thanos coming or getting the Infinity Gems, and then they come back to Earth. That's how they end the movie.
Yeah. Which we talked about that theory before. I'm still sticking by my my theory that Hela is Thanos' version of death, and that's where it kind of leads off. He's trying to win over Hela somehow.
Have you guys read Unworthy Thor?
Which one is that one? Because
that's the current miniseries where they reveal where Thor lost the hammer and what's going on with him. It's kind of his redemption arc.
Jason,
curiously. Curiously enough, they end that with Hela and Thanos hooking up.
Aha, see? Oh. So I'm telling you, there's some credence to that theory there, Jay. I was telling you.
Yeah. And the collector is centrally involved, because the collector finds the leftover hammer of Thor from the Ultimate Universe. And the Odin son shows up. I loved Ultimate Thor.
I did too, man. It was pretty good.
That was a great take on the character.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I kind of miss it about the Ultimate Universe, because they were familiar characters, but they were different enough to make it interesting.
Oh,
I was really against them until like maybe 5 years into it, and then it clicked for me.
Yeah, no, I was on board right from the get-go, because this is just a good jumping on point to just give a fresh, more modern take on things.
The pop culture thing, the celebrity thing, I mean, there's a lot of themes playing. You know, I really like the idea of being able to give somebody 12 issues and they don't have to read anything else. They don't need to understand anything else. You've got the very, I used to have a running joke skit thing at the old Deadpan forums that we had, where everybody is like, Hank Pym gathers all the Avengers, and because he finds out there's a transcript where they constantly bring up that he beat up the Wasp one time, and by beat up means slapped her, and he wants it off the record. And like, Hawkeye refuses to come into the meeting because he's in the, like, he's using the bathroom, and then he'll come out to quit, and then he'll go use the bathroom again or he'll forget his keys. You know, nobody's giving it seriously. And Hank's like running down this laundry list of all the times, like, every other character's done something shitty. And meanwhile, they're deferring to Captain America, who's not even a founder. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I mean, and that's kind of where the Ultimate kind of just, they cleared the decks of all that shit. You don't need to read 18 fucking decades of backstory to get the Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't know that following the lineup with continual series was a good idea, because, you know, by the time the X-Men, they finally killed that line, the X-Men title there was unrecognizable and unreadable.
Oh yeah, that's with Kitty Pride leading the group there, right?
Yeah, there, she's doing that now, too, in the main Marvel stuff. But, I mean, there's, like, two characters that you recognize and everybody else was killed off. And then they start bringing in, like, a replacement Hulk and, you know, a Captain America. And just, it gets very splintered and it kind of defeated what made the old Hulk.
Oh,
you guys good there, Jay?
Yeah,
that sounded weird.
Choppy.
Yeah, I tangented like a mother.
No, you're good.
13 people killed and 74 wounded when a hush fell over the crowd while recording a podcast later this evening.
How many people wounded? Clearly not a Deadpan Fury audience. Yeah.
All
right, so yeah, I was doing an episode earlier, and it was funny because the guy I was talking to starts talking. He's like, "Oh yeah, sure, you could." And I mean, don't get me wrong, you could be negative, and you could do a podcast. You could just talk shit nonstop and just be negative about everything. I'm like, you've never listened to my show.
You are describing my wheelhouse, sir.
Yeah, that not to cross promote, but yeah, that was a good one. I can't wait for you guys to hear that because. He was amazing.
All right,
what else hey, Toner, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder if Toner ever made it back to Winslow. He might still be stuck in St. Chuck there.
Oh, shit, he's got travel issues? Okay, you.
He's got car problems, apparently, is what he's saying.
Well, that's what he's saying. We don't know if it's
that's
true.
What he's saying. I know.
He's hooking up.
Hey, you know what? You can have car problems. That's fine, but that's why they made Skype for your phone.
Ooh, see? Nice.
Good. Ouch.
That's all I'm saying. Waiting there for the tow truck, nothing better to do. He could be checking in.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, okay, Jay, you had here. You want to talk about the Thor, I guess it'd be Thor 3 preview. I mean, we touched on it just a little bit. I liked it a lot. And here's something I want to bring up, which you guys, I don't know if you guys heard this theory yet. Have you heard the theory about Heimdall's eyes being one of the stones?
Huh.
Because they're saying that the color of his eyes is the color of the, what color, what stone is the yellow stone? I can't remember, Jay. Do you remember
that? Soul Gem?
I don't remember, but I'm thinking so, maybe, because they're saying that he can see across far distances.
Or the time gem.
He can see into people's souls kind of thing, maybe is what they're saying.
No, the time gem is in the amulet.
Okay.
And in Doctor Strange. That's the
yellow
time gem.
Reality.
And the soul gem is supposed to be, well, I don't think the colors from the comic book translated over into the movies.
Right. I was going to say Adam Warlock's was the soul gem, and that was yellow.
Right, but that's currently the one that's in Vision's head.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
too. That's right. Yeah. So maybe that's a moot point. Maybe it's just a bunk theory. But I thought it was kind of a cool, like out of left field kind of. Oh, okay, that'd be kind of interesting. And at least you would know that there would be real stakes in Thor 3. That if that's what's to occur to get another Infinity Stone, that someone would actually die and actually mean something and actually stay dead, kind of thing. You know, because they're saying that not everyone's going to survive. You know.
Well, okay, hold on.
Maybe this is that. I don't know. Part of that.
Wasn't Natalie Portman's Jane Foster supposed to be like a living incarnation of the Infinity Stone?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't remember Thor 2.
I could have sworn they said that, and then it was what the hell is going to happen since she doesn't want to come back?
Oh, wow.
Let me fact check that, because...
I know Thor 2 had one of the gems in it, and I don't remember anything other
Thor
than
Thor 2 had the aether, that red mist thing is one of the Infinity Gems.
I was going to say, is it that JJ bullshit?
No, I don't know. This is the one thing I heard.
The Tesseract is one of them. The aether is one of them. The orb from Guardians of the Galaxy is one of them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So there's two more, right? They need to complete five, one. Right?
Well, in theory, yeah. The one in Vision's head is one of them.
Okay, so that would be four, right?
Right, so there should be... Oh, and the time one, the one in Doctor Strange's amulet.
Yeah.
So then maybe we found all of them, right? I guess, right?
There's six, isn't there? One for each finger and one for the... the fifth.
Is there six?
Yeah, there's six.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So yeah, there's one mind, more soul, power, reality,
time.
Oh fuck, dude! Are you kidding me? And the Space Jam.
Right.
Oh, there you go. So I don't know. Oh, that might make sense. Space, since he can see throughout time and space, maybe kind of thing. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. It's kind of weird that you get the rumblings of that on the internet. I'm like, huh. I mean, it could be a huge stretch and be nothing. But I was like, if they're gonna play into that somehow, I thought that'd be a cool way to, you know, add that into the
okay,
the
so according to Marvel Cinema Universe wiki.com, the Space Stone is the Tesseract.
Okay.
Well, there goes that theory then.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
The Mind Stone is in Vision's head. The Reality Stone is the Aether.
Okay.
The Power Stone is the orb from Guardians. The Time Stone is the amulet in Doctor Strange.
Okay.
That's what they're listing so far.
So what are we missing? The Soul Gem?
Yeah, in comics, so. The stones originally referred to as the Soul Gem for the Infinity Gem. Yeah, I think the soul is the only one that we're missing. We have time, power, reality, mind, and space.
Adam Warlock.
And I heard something about an interview with James Gunn saying that Adam Warlock was supposed to be in Guardians 2, but he's saving them for Guardians 3, because he's going to write Guardians 3. They said they just didn't have enough time to put him in there as much as he wanted to.
Fair enough. It's going to be hard to do the whole lot, but that Soul Gem's got to pop up ahead of time. Well, yeah, Adam Warlock also didn't start off with the Soul Gem either, so.
No, he had it after the Infinity Gauntlet.
Back in the 70s when Starlin wrote it, Adam Warlock had the Soul Gem. There were multiple Soul Gems because the Infinity Stones or gems in the comic books weren't like specific. There were a couple of them and the Elders had quite a few of them and they all kind of did the same thing. And it wasn't until like Thanos Quest back after the character, you know, got revived, leading up into the Infinity Gauntlet, that they said, oh, wait, here's the real deal with them. And they kind of retconned it.
They did mention that they were called Soul Gems before the whole Infinity Gauntlet storyline, and Thanos kind of redid the naming on them.
Yeah. Well, and if anybody's going to fuck around with that stuff, you let Jim Starlin do it, and you go, okay. Yeah, I mean, at that point, the space, like, because for Adam Warlock for a long time was basically Space Jesus. You know, they had him being like, he wasn't a superhero or anything. He's running around being like the celestial messiah.
Who would continually come back from the dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was kind of his thing. Yeah. And, you know, he got, like, back before Marvel got really, like, I don't want to say preachy, but correct in the 80s, he got crucified on Counter-Earth and then came back to life 3 days later. I mean, they were doing deliberate, like, space Bible stuff.
Oh, it says here, of the stones, the Aether is the only one that is fluid and ever-changing, while the other stones were contained in objects such as the Tesseract, the Orb, the Scepter, and the Eye of Agamotto. The Soul Stone, as yet to be revealed, though, Guardians of the Galaxy implies that its color will be orange.
Huh. And so, yeah, his eyes are, I don't think, well, they're kind of yellow, so I don't know. But, interesting theory. And so, anything else you take from the trailer? The only other thing I took from the trailer was they revealed probably one of the funniest parts of the movie, I guess we're going to see, which I hate when trailers do that. They show you too much. I would have rather seen the Thor being happy about seeing Hulk. They could have hid Hulk from the trailer completely and not shown us, because we know he's going to show up anyway. They didn't need to show that, but that was my favorite part of the trailer, too.
By far.
Yeah.
We had to assume that it was going to happen because they're the only two that weren't around for Civil War.
Yeah.
So this kind of had to be the story of where have they been. And also, haven't people kind of been clamoring for a while now for Planet Hulk stuff? Isn't that whole Gladiator thing kind of part of Planet Hulk?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great it's a great comic, and I haven't seen the animated one. I know they got an animated version of it, which...
It's okay, but I mean, yeah, it there's a certain economy to it. You had your two heaviest hitters off the board for Civil War. Yeah, put them together. That's total buddy movie mentality. I'm on board for it.
Yeah, which I'm on board with them. I just meant from the trailer. I didn't want to see it in the trailer. I'd rather seen it in the movie.
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad that they tipped off Hulk, because I mean they basically reported it the moment Ruffalo got on stage. They're like, oh yeah, he's over there where they're filming. And it's like,
you went with Rufio.
Rufio.
Not very
I'm about to get in a political rant with that motherfucker. So yeah. But they're, you know, I mean, so they kind of tipped their hand anyways. So I'd rather see the reveal with the humor of, I'm looking forward to fighting my buddy here because he can take it and it'll be fun. I like seeing that as opposed to actually seeing any of the fight.
Yeah, I got you on that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well,
so if you're gonna show me the part that gets me excited to see more. Don't show me the meat.
Yeah.
Well, and if they were going to do a Planet Hulk, they were going to have to find a substitute for Silver Surfer anyway.
Right.
And so Thor is a logical choice there.
Well, I think you have to do the lead up to Planet Hulk 2, which they don't have all the characters they need for that, as far as the Illuminati goes. Because the Illuminati is a really important part to that whole story. I mean, that's your first act, is the Illuminati. So.
I will say this, that Marvel has been taking a bunch of much bigger and wider range story elements and combining them into their whole MCU, and I've been okay with what they've done with a lot of that. You know, taking this piece of this story and condensing it to this piece of this story and merging these together where they weren't before. They've done it really well to keep their story fluid without, I mean, as far as I've seen, without really pissing off the fan base as to, well, that's not how it was in the comics.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was going to say they kind of have to do that with some of these stories because Reed Richards was a big part of Civil War, and they're not.
No, absolutely, yeah. And I agree with that. But there hasn't been like he was saying, like, okay, if they're going to do the Planet Hulk stuff out there, they obviously don't have the time to do the whole lead up. So we're going to tie it in with this other stuff, and we're going to replace Silver Surfer with Thor. But I don't really hear a whole lot of people who were clamoring for Planet Hulk complaining about the way that they're doing it. They're kind of happy that they're getting the pieces that they are without having too much backlash about them changing so much of it to fit their overall MCU arc.
Yeah, and I guess so, because they're going to hit on the best part of what Planet Hulk was about, you know.
Right.
The Gladiator stuff, the Gladiator story, so.
Which, see, this is
where I would like to see it. No, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. It's your podcast, sir.
No. Well, I was just going to say.
No.
Basically, it'd be cool to get a nugget of Scar, his son, because of saying they keep saying, or sorry, we got Kevin Feige on record saying that there's going to be major changes and we're going to see different characters. And I think that mostly has to do with the fact that they don't want to pay Downey Jr. like $50 million a film anymore, kind of thing. So this would be a good opportunity to give us little tidbits or hints of new characters coming our way. And I think a character like Scar, though he is less known, maybe lead off or go that route just to give us something new.
Well,
and I don't know if that's the only thing I'd want from Planet Hulk. And since we're not getting it, I doubt we'll get the Scar character because they won't have enough time to dive into that.
But see, that can also pull the kids in too, having Scar in there, because he's on that Hawks and the Agents of Smash that kids recognize him at this point.
Yeah.
It's all about merchandising.
No, but Marcus, what'd you have?
Okay. One of the big things we've seen, like, now bear with me because it's a little bit of nerd hate and I get into a flame war every time I bring it up on fucking line. Watchmen is a fucking frame for frame, painstakingly a close adaption. As a movie, it absolutely fucking sucks to sit through. I would rather
life. Can clean out your desk.
Yeah, I would rather take my own life than watch the theatrical cut, The Watchmen, again.
Actually, there's a 4-hour director's cut, too.
Now, there's moments of brilliance in it, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those, it kind of looks like somebody saying, we need to preserve this story for the ages and all time, and that's why we have these two characters not moving, talking to each other for 3 fucking minutes without the camera moving. And it's cinematically accurate, but it's soulless and it doesn't feel like it contains what the story did. Or, you know, now you take something like Ragnarok here, and you've got that fun gladiator type feel of Planet Hulk, which was a fucking total monster romp. You know, Planet Hulk was not a real, it had subtext and stuff like that, but it wasn't a real thoughtful book. It was Hulk smash for 12 issues, you know, and it was, the premise was neat. It was unique, and it gave the book a fun energy after a couple years of being like X-Files light and, were, you know, a period where you barely saw the Hulk. And, you know, it turned the Hulk loose, really. And that's what I like about the way Marvel's approach is, you know, like you guys were saying. If you go through and look at all the Ant-Man stories in the world, there's like three that matter. And they already took one of them away from them with Ultron. And then they took another one away from, you know, by not being an Avengers founder. So you take the best parts of what you have with these 70-year-old characters and you put them out there, you know. I think Marvel's got the right idea. I don't agree with all their choices, you know, but they're also giving me 30 fucking movies or so. So it's not like I have to, you know, sit here and go, man, remember that Captain America movie with the Italian Red Skull that had like $10 production? Fuck, I wish somebody else would have made a better superhero movie. You know, I can cherry pick whatever Marvel movie I want, you know, and there's a pretty good bet they're going to be supported now. They don't look like they've thrown any characters away. You know, they're all sticking around.
So we ended up talking for another 2 hours after that. So the next two episodes will be us continuing to talk about other things like DC movies, a little comic book talk, some Star Wars. Hopefully you come back and check it out. You can find Marcus at Deadpan Fury and podcast Rob at the Something Something Cast. Both of them are on IJOV.net, the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network. You can find more of our Nerdcast stuff at nerdcast.com. That's NYRDCAST. You can find us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Nerdcast. So in the words of No Show Toner, do whatever it is you do. Peace.